Welcome to episode 561 of Salcedo Paranormal. I'm your host, James Salcedo, and tonight I'm talking about more haunted places in the U.S. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, at the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal. Podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read them or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Michael Strange and Trouble Minds Radio comes on. And as always, I'd like to thank Michael Strange, again, host of Trouble Minds Radio, for putting these shows up on the station. So if you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. You can also find books I've written, paranormal fiction and nonfiction, over on Amazon. And you can also sign up to the Patreon page, where you'll get one extra True Paranormal Stories from the Web episode every month. Or you can also just make one-time donations through PayPal. Support is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And I think that covers everything there. Again, this is part of another continuing set. I guess I like continuing series because I just finished an episode of one continuing series, and this is another episode in another series. But So this is more haunted places in the U.S. This is still working through Alabama. We only have a few more locations left in there to do, though, so that's good. We'll be getting out of done with that state here pretty soon, a few episodes maybe, and then getting into Alaska. So going in alphabetical order there. So, and these articles that I am summarizing here will be in the episode descriptions, and that way you can check them out. And I'm just going to be sort of reading and summarizing them, and then definitely recommend checking out the articles. They will have pictures that obviously I cannot really summarize here. So today we're going to at least start. You never know what exactly, how far we're going to get with these. But starting off with another hotel, after the last one we did of these, that was a hotel as well. And this is the title of this article. This is from onlyinyourstate.com. And the title, I believe, is "The Oldest Hotel in Alabama is Also One of the Most Haunted Places You'll Ever Sleep." Common sort of title there for these kind of articles here. And starts off asking if people have been thinking of going on weekend getaways. And this is something I would love to do someday, if I had the resources and all that. Just go and visit places that are said to be haunted and stay there for the weekend. I think that'd be amazing, or a couple days. But, of course, this is about the Redmont Hotel. It's has 14 stories tall. I wonder if it only goes up to, or if it goes up to floor 15, because of the whole, there is no 13th floor, at least not in labels anyway. It's located in the heart of downtown Birmingham. And again, it's, at the time of this article anyway, it was the state's oldest operating hotel. It opened in 1925, and it's welcomed guests from all across the U.S. It's also considered one of the Alabama's most or best hotels for a weekend getaway. It talks about the article here talks about the architecture from an basically there's a custom 10-foot crystal chandelier in the entry there, the lobby. And getting to the rest of this here, excuse me, says that even though the hotel is beautiful in every way, it does hold a secret, and that is that it's believed to be haunted. And of course they say that, but it's in an article online, so it's not that much of a secret. But says here that several guests have reported seeing the apparition of a woman in white on the ninth floor there, and the ghost of one Clifford Stiles, who was a former owner, who has been seen wandering the halls. And the most famous apparition or ghost of the hotel is also the singer Hank Williams, I'm guessing senior, who has been seen in the room that he stayed in right before his death. Going back to the hallway thing, what is it with hallways? I mean, doors are one thing, but so many of these stories, it's always a hallway. Had one of those just with a couple episodes ago, a couple that saw a child in their hallway in their house. Anyway, it is sort of a transitory space, and it's sort of, it's made from movement, which is energy. So, but anyway, just a thing I keep noticing. Maybe that'll have to be one of the theme-based episodes that we do coming up here soon. Guests have also reported other things, such as lights turning on and off by themselves, furniture moving on its own, and the opening and closing of doors. So, talks about that. Let's see, talks about the next time you're in the area, of course, welcome to go there. And that's it for that first article. But yeah, the hallway thing to me is just fascinating because it's sort of the opposite of doorways. Doorways are sort of like, they're only a small space. But hallways, yeah, manifestation, yeah. The hallway, Derek says here in the chat, reminds me of the back door in the Matrix that can lead to any place, yeah. And it's just so many, I mean, just to prove a point, I will have to do an episode on hallways. And I won't get through all whatever I find, but I'll just like share with you the number of stories I find. Maybe even provide a link to like the search results and all that. But anyway, going on to this next article here. This is from, excuse me, let me see here. This is from AlabamaHauntedHouses.com. And I love sites like this because it's about a certain area. And usually when that happens, you're going to have people that are familiar with or from the area, so they may have better insight into things than you might think if you're just not from the area at all. And the title says, and it's basically the title is Redmont Hotel, Birmingham, Alabama, Real Haunted Places, basically is the title here. It says that guests have reported some unusual things, such as doors that open and close themselves and furniture or luggage. The first article didn't say that, moving around on its own. So there's also a woman in white that has been seen. Again, so many locations have a woman in white story in her apparition. Also, the apparition of a small dog is sometimes seen, again, roaming the hallways. One of the former owners, again, Mr. Stiles, has been seen in the area. And then most famously, of course, it says that Hank Williams, famous musician or singer, has been there, haunting the place since he died there. Died there, okay. That's another factor in that. In 1952. So, that was a fairly quick one this time. So we definitely have time to go into this next location here. So, but yeah, hallways and all those kinds of things seem to be really, really common. So let me check on the chat again one more time here. Give myself a little bit of a... Okay, so we're good there. But yeah, so now we go from a hotel to... And we did cover this one a little bit last time, so I won't spend a ton of time on this. We'll just fill out the rest of the show with this one. The next location is Fort Morgan, Gulf Shores, it says. The summary here. And this is a historic Civil War fort that is said to be haunted by the ghosts of soldiers who died in battle in the area. First article here is from onlyinyourstate.com. And it says the title here is "The One Battle Site in Alabama That's Seen Its Fair Share of Ghosts," it says here. So the construction of this fort started in 1819 and was completed in 1834. It has a unique star shape that made it much easier to defend. Oh, symbolism there much, huh? I mean, in the way, I mean, I guess I understand the defense thing, but stars are pretty common in symbols and all that, too. But when the place was built at first, it was considered the best example of military architecture in the New World. So... it says during the U.S. Civil War and during 1864, around that time, the fort came under heavy fire. There was a Battle of Mobile Bay that took place in the area, and the Union at the time set the fort on fire and resulted in many people passing, unfortunately, of course. And some people are now convinced that the people that died there have never quite left. So, let's see here. Going into the other part of this article here, it says one of the most haunted areas in the place is the old barracks. In 1917, there was a prisoner that died in that area. Since then, a lot of people there have reported hearing him speak out or cry out late day hours, basically. And he's thought to make other noises as well, all of which are unsettling to everyone else there. Another case here says that there was an incident during the Civil War. There was a bomb that went off in one of the rooms. And so that killed some people there, unfortunately. And the men are still, the sounds of that, and it sounds like it's residual sounds of what happened that night, can be heard in that area as well. It says that many people, the apparition that most people are familiar with is the one that belongs to a young woman. And she was, according to the legend here, I don't know how much of this is true or not, but attacked sometime during the 19th century. And local legend, so that's again, keep that in mind, says that she still roams the area looking for her attacker. Now, this is the other thing, too. This could be just a legend, but with enough people talking about it and thinking about it, as we're doing now, in a way, it could still manifest that apparition, even if, whether it happened or not. So, yeah, let's see here. That's the end of that first article here. So, second article here is from alabamaliving.coop. So, and this is around Alabama. It says, let's see here. So this is from a magazine, apparently, online magazine type thing. But it was a free article. And, of course, these are just summaries. Says that, talks about, of course, a lot of these articles are written around the time of year of Halloween, of course. And so that's when a lot of these get made and posted and everything. And then, of course, they stay there online after that. Talks about some of the people that have worked in the area are actually sort of, they talk in this article or give statements in this article. First one it says, or that they talk about here is a tour guide named Jeff Rodewald. Says that as he walks through the tunnel to enter the fort, he usually gets a feeling that he is entering hallowed ground. So the article talks again about the construction starting in 1819, completed in 1833. Some of these articles you'll get slightly different dates, but I think part of that is just due to records and all that can vary. And let me see the next one here. Going back to Rodewald, says that as he learns the history of the fort, where the soldiers stayed and where they ate their meals and then where they went when they were wounded, he often visualizes and feels the camaraderie and the pain of every soldier there. So again, just going with the energy, I guess you might be able to feel all that when you're there, and even just in your own mind imagining these things. So apparently now Rodewald hears, I'm going to just call him, Rodewald hears many reports from people that say they've had experiences at the location. And apparitions, there have been apparitions and screams, so sightings and sounds there. Many guests say that they believe there are spirits and ghosts still present in the area, in the fort. And talks about how it's easy to, in your own mind, basically travel through time back to when the place was constructed. On one summer night, Rodewald was stationed in one of the back rooms of the fort near a row of casemates, which are armored structures where guns are fired. He was dressed in a period soldier outfit, and he was supposed to tell visitors about the deaths in the fort from the time of construction until until it closed after World War II. And according to him, three young women entered the area and stopped to take a picture of the doorways that run through five of these casemate rooms. And Rodewald says they were towards the end of the group coming in. And just as one of them was in the process of taking a picture, one of them shouted, "Did you see that?" And the other two said yes. So they pulled up the pictures on their phone, and there was a image of an orb-like object in the photo. They asked if anyone else in the back was there, and he told them that they were the only people. Of course, now I'm going to just say right now, orbs on phones, it's tricky because there can be a lot of explanations for that. But they were a little bit spooked with what they saw, he said, and so he doesn't know what they saw, but they saw something. There have been many sightings over the years, it says in the article here. It's said to be one of the most haunted places of the fort. I'm sorry, the barracks is, the old barracks is said to be one of the most haunted places in the fort. And let's see here. Scrolling through this here. Apparently during the Civil War, it mentions the bomb that went off. And of course, and then it talks about the young woman that is seen there as well. So the fort later was seized by the state of Alabama troops in 1861, turned over again to the Confederate Army, but then, of course, it was burned by the Union forces there. It was also the first line of defense for the city, the bay there, provided protection for blockade runners entering the bay that it was on. So eventually after that war ended, moving forward to World War I, 2,000 troops were stationed at the fort. And many of the people there trained on the new artillery weapons that were, they were becoming common in those kind of battlefields at that time. But with the end of that war, the fort was steadily reduced. And in 1923, basically things were shut down again. Of course, it did get used again during World War II. But then it was abandoned for the last time after that, as other defenses were built in the area. So just kind of went over that. And that's all I have for this episode here. We'll just fill up the last minute here, a few minutes here, with talk about what's next. And next time, on this next episode that we do, I'm going to start off with talking about a swamp. So this is one of those places where it's not a building; it's an area that is just out. It's nature. So, let's see here. Going to the chat here. Thank you all again. Yeah, the star forts are sometimes tied to ley lines, ley line theories. Okay, from Derek there. They're weirdly placed all over the world. Wow. So I didn't know about that. Yeah, and especially if you're empathic. Yeah, if you go there. Yep, I can see that from Ricky in the chat there. So, yeah. The next place I'm going to talk about is a swamp next time. Actually, the very next episode, which for those that listen to the live streams, that'll be tomorrow night, next stream tomorrow night. So, and for everyone that listens to the podcast feeds, that'll be next episode after you're hearing this. So that was the amazing thing about doing this is you get a lot of buildings, obviously. But then I found that location, and it's not even a... And there is a road in it, but it's not a building. So let's see here. Derek says, where the land and the water merge. So where the realms merge. And then, of course, yeah, a lot of beliefs. Swamps, marshes, wetlands. Even the fort, that Fort Morgan, it was on a coast, on a bay. So, again, you have those similarities there. And just as far as plans for future shows, more of these shows about haunted places. We'll keep doing the book review series. And please, whenever you check out these shows, and especially all the back catalog of shows, if there are links to anyone else's projects, please check those out. Please also check out the radio station, the online radio station. That is the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There are shows that are played on that station all day, all night, 24/7. And a lot of it during the day, it's sort of randomized, so you never know who's going to come on next during the day in a lot of cases. But then there are some shows that are set in certain times as well. So check out that. And I always include the link to the station and all that in the episode description, so it's really easy to get to. And thanks again to everyone that has supported the show so far. If you've ever been a guest for any reason, still, even though I know it's difficult to arrange, I would still love to do a roundtable here or there once in a great while. So if you would like to be part of that and you've been on the show before, please let me know. Or if you're associated with the show at all or part of the network, let me know and we will we can figure out a day and time to do one of those kinds of just sort of panel discussion shows. I think those are always fun. They were fun before when I was able to do them. We did them on a fairly regular basis for a while. It's just that it's hard to schedule. But thank you all again for listening, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.